Okay, it is 5:02 and I officially call the Planning Commission meeting for Wednesday, August 19th to order. Do we have a quorum?
Ms. Chair, this is Lee Huang Wong speaking. What I know of is Vice Chair McInnes and Commissioner Edmonds, who have family commitments, will be absent today. And so we're expecting seven commissioners present, for which we do have a quorum. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And next on our agenda is the approval of the agenda and the minutes. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the agenda and minutes.
Thank you.
Second.
All right, it has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on the agenda or the minutes? Seeing no discussion and seeing no hands raised, I will call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the agenda, say yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Aye.
Okay. All those opposed? All right. The agenda and minutes have been approved. All right. So since we're still working on the meeting via Zoom, we are not having oral public comments, but I do believe we have some written comments that have come in.
Yes. This is Lee Huang Wong speaking again. I have a quick report. So we accept written comments sent to the planning inbox by 4 p.m. today. We have received four emails comments. The first email came from Ms. Kathy Caruthers of Climate Exchange. She forwarded a report titled Building Back Better, Investing in a Resilient Recovery for Washington State. She commented that the document may be helpful in deciding how to rebuild and provide jobs and income after COVID if federal money becomes available. The second email came from Mr. Mike Fleming. He commented that the view-sensitive district overlay proposal, which is part of the 2020 annual amendment package, is a long-awaited refinement to the original view-sensitive district overlay. He forwarded four pages from the city's 1998 view study. He indicated that the community urges the commission to approve the proposal and forward it on to the city council for their consideration. I would note that the planning commission is yet to come to that point yet, but we appreciate his comments. The other two emails came from Mr. and Mrs. Richard and Karen Magoon and Ms. Ida Rusna. Both emails are identical to the one from Mr. Mike Fleming. So those are the four comments we received. We will review those comments and incorporate them as appropriate into the corresponding projects that we're doing. And these comments will be reflected in the minutes for tonight's meeting. That concludes my quick report. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will move on to our discussion items. We have three discussion items tonight. And just for a review, since this is our first Planning Commission meeting in, I think, about six or more weeks, we've been doing this over Zoom since, I believe, May, but we haven't had our full staff presence for several months now. So the way we've been doing discussion items, and for those of you who are attendees, because I see that we have more attendees than we have in a while. Staff gives I do a quick review of checking with staff on the discussion item. They give their presentation, and then depending on what the action is, it commissioners have the opportunity to discuss or give comments to staff, and commissioners will use the raise your hand option to let me know that they wish to speak. And we will wait till the staff presentation is over with to do that. So with that said, we are going to start off with the 2020 annual amendment. And this is going to be a review of the next steps for the amendment package. And this, the purpose of this presentation is informational. And so no, correct me if I'm wrong, but no action is requested of the commission.
All right,
Mr. Atkinson?
I will take it from there. Thank you, Chair.
All right.
I'm Stephen Atkinson, Principal Planner in the Long Range Planning Division for the City of Tacoma. I am going to just take a short second here to share my screen. And let's see. And if the chair can give me just a quick thumbs up, make sure you can see.
We can see it. It looks great.
Okay. All right. This is very confusing. Okay. So just wanted to cover, as the chair said, the 2020 annual amendment, and really considering this as sort of refresh presentation. So just echoing the chair's comments, the COVID-19 pandemic did affect both our public meetings as well as our staffing resources, and that had an impact on our ability to move forward with the annual amendment this year, so it has been delayed for a few months. The 2020 amendment would typically be completed on a June to June schedule. And as we'll talk about in the presentation, we are looking at kind of a proposed timeline to get this completed by the end of the year. In your packet, you received information cover sheet on each of the projects as part of the amendment package this year, as well as a proposed timeline and process overview and some of our key next steps. So I'll cover those briefly. And again, as the chair said, this is informational. And some of our lead staff on the individual applications are here this evening. So if there are questions specific to any of the applications, I'll be happy to ask those staff to assist in answering any of those questions that you might have. So to kind of take a step back, and kind of remind ourselves of what we have accomplished and what we have done to support the amendment process. I think is important to note that since 2015, when we completed the comprehensive plan update, we have shifted to accepting private applications for comprehensive plan or land use regulatory code amendments on a odd year schedule. So 2019, last year we did accept and advertise for applications. We received those by April 1st of that year, and then went through the scoping process between May and July. So we conducted the scoping public hearing in June, and then wrapped up the Planning Commission's review in July. And that the kind of key decisions in that first phase of the process, typically the Commission reviews the applications, initial staff assessment reports, evaluating the applications that were received. And then the key considerations are whether or not the commission wants to accept the applications as they were proposed or modify the scope of work before accepting them onto the docket. And then the outcome of that first phase is really establishing what projects are going to move forward for technical review and analysis for the rest of the year. So through that summer and then into the fall, we'd started to shift into the plan and regulatory code development. Meeting with the Planning Commission and conducting community stakeholder meetings. So that was really focused between December and February, kind of leading into the normal timeline for our public release of the documents and setting a public hearing. And it was really at that point in the process when when the COVID pandemic really started to affect the city, and we had to kind of put the project on hiatus temporarily. So kind of here, what we're signifying is, again, kind of stepping back into that process, kind of getting that back up and rolling. And then over the next two meetings today and then on September 2nd, kind of leading into what we propose for the public hearing process with the Planning Commission. So again, here you can see the timeline that we've put together. And I really just want to acknowledge here that we, like I said, we would typically have this process, a recommendation from the Commission to the City Council, typically in May for City Council consideration and adoption in June. And so for this whole timeline of since we've received the applications to this presentation, it's already been over a year for that timeline, so we know we're behind schedule. And as this is a 2020 amendment, we do want to make sure that we get this proposed and brought forward to the City Council by the end of the year. So what we've put together here are some of the next steps that would make that feasible, kind of a feasible timeline to both complete the Planning Commission's review, set the public hearing, and then allow time still for the Commission to debrief from the public hearing and make any
final... Hey, Stephen, sorry to interrupt. We can't see those slides. It's just maybe the other screen or something.
Okay. So you're not seeing anything?
We see the presentation, but not like slide by slide.
Oh.
Just the first...
Your slides aren't changing.
Okay. Well, then, so maybe I'll just do it this way. Can you see? Here we are. So amendment process. My apologies. I'm not sure what was going on there.
You know what it is? It's sharing my screen for some bizarre reason. So I don't know why it's doing that because I never asked it to share my screen.
So can you see the next steps at this point on your view?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know why it's sharing my screen. I don't even have your, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is the fun of virtual meetings.
This is weird. Okay.
I'm going to stop share and then just try to re-screen share again here and to see if anything changes. So hopefully what I'm seeing right now is a slide on the next steps with the schedule. Can anyone see that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to back up here just really, really quickly, just given. So again, you all are probably familiar with this graphic. I already spoke on this, but this is kind of what I was showing on the amendment process. But for anyone watching who may have missed this, so typically our process proceeds from the scoping. The commission finalizes the docket. Then it moving into more of the technical review and analysis phase, as well as early community engagement, stakeholder involvement, really kind of helping support us in developing proposals to bring to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission determines then what to release for the public hearing. We'll consider then following the public hearing any new testimony provided to the commission on those exhibits prior to the commission making the recommendation onto the City Council. The timeline, and again, kind of where we'd left off, was we'd been building towards the commission being able to set the public hearing. So that's kind of the phase of the process that we're stepping back into now. So today will be an overview, then leading into September 2nd, when we'll come back with a full review of each of the applications, the staff report, and the exhibits. And we'll be requesting that the commission consider releasing for the public review and setting the public hearing on September 2nd, leaving a month then for the public hearing. And following that, anticipating kind of wrapping up and or requesting the commission consider making their recommendation on November 4th to the City Council. And then that still leaves us then enough time to then shift into the council process and hopefully have a council adoption before the end of the year. The applications that we received this year, again, were private applications. The first Heidelberg-Davis land use designation change. It's a plan amendment, view-sensitive overlay district height amendment, which is both code and an area-wide rezone, transportation master plan amendments, and then minor plan and code amendments, which are kind of a mix of both plan and code amendment proposals. I'll take a moment just to kind of walk through each one of these again very briefly, but I'll mention Larry Harla, our senior planner, who's been lead on both Heidelberg-Davis and the view-sensitive district Hyde Amendment application, is also here today. So if there are specific questions on these, I'd welcome Larry to join the conversation and provide any responses to your questions. So the first application, the Heidelberg-Davis land use designation change request, would be a comprehensive plan, future land use map change for a 16-acre site from the parks and open space designation currently in the comprehensive plan to the major institutional campus designation. And this is related to the potential future development of a soccer stadium and possibly accessory educational and healthcare facilities. So you can see the area on the map on the right where that designation change has been requested. The area that this is part of with Cheney Stadium, Foss High School, is kind of an amalgamation of different public lands. So we have properties here that are both owned by Metro Parks Tacoma. There's lands owned by the City of Tacoma as well as the Tacoma School District, serving a broad park and recreation, educational and recreation focus of this area. The applicant was Metro Parks Tacoma. Planning Commission had reviewed this in February on the 19th, and staff had done community outreach in that area, specifically with the Central Neighborhood Council, as well as some additional public meetings. So again, one of the things I want to mention here under the issues and concerns is both in our public scoping process as well as through those public meetings, we are documenting and responding to questions and concerns that we've been receiving along the way, as well as considering those as part of the public record. So we may have additional comments and testimony provided as part of the public hearing, but we are documenting the conversations that we've had with the community as well. The second application was a view-sensitive overlay district height amendment. The request was from the West Slope, I believe, Neighborhood Coalition to reduce the allowable height in the view-sensitive district from 25 feet to 20 feet in specific areas. One of the things I wanted to mention on this application in particular is this is an instance where the initial application was modified based on a staff recommendation, and the Planning Commission concurred to really look more broadly at the entirety of the city's view-sensitive districts to identify any other areas within that overlay where there's a concentration of buildings at or below 20 feet in height. So that was a change in scope that really did broaden the work and the analysis that we've undertaken. And you can see on the map on the right-hand side, five areas within the existing view-sensitive area that kind of met some of those initial thresholds for looking at the concentration of height at or below 20 feet. Again, this is a project that we had an open house on in February. And again, a lot of community dialogue that we've heard already through this process, both at the open house as well as through the scoping process of the Planning Commission. Third application was a transportation master plan, and this was initially a more broader focus on the scope of work that was really narrowed down based on sort of staffing resources and sort of feasibility of what we could accomplish during this year. So it was really rescaled back to really focus on ensuring consistency between our comprehensive plan, sub-area plan elements, so the Tacoma Mall sub-area plan, north, south, downtown, as well as Hilltop, where there are specific capital priority projects and transportation projects identified in those sub-areas, and ensuring consistency that those are integrated in with the TMP into the project list and the prioritization criteria that are included in the transportation master plan. So this is really part of that effort that when we go through sub-area planning work, those sub-area plans typically include project lists, they're high priority for that area, and part of the next step that we need to undertake following the adoption and approval of those plans is to then integrate those projects more widely into our transportation improvement programs, capital facilities programs, and the TMP. And then lastly, the minor plan and code amendments is a process that we go through usually annually to really try to identify minor either plan changes, although predominantly probably code issues, where there are either errors in the code or there are code conflicts or clarity where we've gotten feedback either from permit applicants or from our current planning staff who are using these codes every day, and then where they've identified things that could use some minor improvements within our codes. So these are typically and so then again, I'll kind of end my presentation here on the next steps. So again, kind of a refresh here today. We'll come back with more detail and the request to set the hearing on September 2nd. But if there are any questions from the commission today, again, just given the desire to kind of get this moving back into the process and get to the public hearing, if there are any comments or questions from the commission today that could help us prepare on September 2nd, that would be helpful. And I will stop sharing and hand it back to the commission. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Atkinson. Do any commissioners have any questions or comments reviewing regarding the status or the next steps of the 2020 annual amendment process? Commissioner Givens.
Hello. Hey, so when will we get staff reports, especially for the view sensitive overlay? Because I feel like there's a lot of background I need to get caught up on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Commissioner Givens, the intent is to have the staff report prepared for your next meeting on September 2nd.
Any other questions or comments?
Chair Peterson, this is Lee Huang Wong, one of the staff persons working on this annual amendment package. We'd like to float an idea with you. The transportation master plan amendments, originally the scope of work included incorporating capital project or a list of capital projects, transportation related, of course, from the Tacoma Mall sub-area plan into the transportation master plan. Both plans are elements, adopted elements of the comprehensive plan. The original scope of work, as you reviewed last July, include a couple of more items, but over the time, due to staffing resources reduction and other factors, and primarily because some of the work items have been moved into a larger major updates of the transportation master plan that is scheduled to occur in 2021 through 2022. And this was reported to you back in December of last year, and you had the concurrence with staff in reducing the specific scope of work for this transportation master plan amendments for this year. So with that, we'd like to float the idea that we just go ahead incorporate these amendments into the minor plan and code amendment item so that the 2020 amendment package includes only three applications now. If you kind of, because we consider, yes, there are a lot of projects being moved over from one plan to the other, but both plans are elements of a comprehensive plan, and both all the projects' ideas have already been adopted by the City Council. We're just moving them into the transportation master plans so the project, those projects can be programmed, budgeted, and prioritized over time. So we consider those are significant projects, but the action to move project over is minor, relatively minor. So we would just like to kind of consolidate into that application. So come in September 2nd, you would see only three applications in the package and to be released for public review. If you like that idea, we will proceed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any negatives to doing that you can foresee? The, is there any reason?
Not really negative, but we would be very clear that the Transportation Commission and Public Works Department work really hard on identifying a specific list of projects and recommending that these be moved over to the Transportation Master Plan. We will make it very clear in our staff report that this is not quote unquote buried, you know, under those less significant items. So we would, I mean, the Planning Commission would acknowledge and appreciate the work that has been done by Transportation Commission and Public Works staff. So that will be the kind of only issue as I see it.
Okay. Do any commissioners have any other thoughts or questions regarding that proposal? Commissioner Strobel?
Thank you, Chair. I think this is a good idea. I typically, you know, when I was on Transportation Commission, I know that the commission takes a deep dive into project updates. And I know that with the update of the Tacoma Mall Master Plan, they're gonna be a better location, I think, to have the contextual information of what projects should be added. I feel like we don't really get a lot of that context here in our process. And so if it goes through the minor amendments process, it seems like it would be more efficient. It seems like it would be able to get those projects identified quicker if there were any funding rounds that were upcoming that the city would have to, you know, put those projects on. And so I would, you know, it sounds, I'm supportive of the measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have a question, comment?
Chair Peterson, thank you, Commissioner Strobel. I just wanted to emphasize that when we say minor plan and code amendment, minor does not mean those are not significant changes. Minor generally means it is non-policy level changes. And so moving projects from one plan over to the other, the action is not significant. The projects themselves are. So just want to make that note. Thank you.
Thank you. Is this something we need to make an official vote on, or can we just give you the okay?
I think I'm hearing concurrence. We will reflect that in the minutes. And lastly, when we go out for public outreach and public hearing notifications, three applications in the package makes it much easier to manage than four. So anyway, thank you very much. And I'm going to share screen and put the agenda back on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so there's concurrence with merging those two items. So our change to our annual amendment package will have three applications as opposed to four. We will now move to item D2, which is the Transit Oriented Development Advisory Group, also known as TODAG. I believe, Brian Boudet, you are giving the presentation on this one. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so for this one, you are asking us to give you some feedback, correct?
That's correct. Let me go ahead and share my screen if I can. Let's make sure I get the right one. All right, can everybody see that?
Yes.
And let me make sure it actually goes forward when I want it to. That's always good. That went forward. Yes. Everybody saw that?
Yep. Right, good.
Okay. So just for the record, I guess, Brian Boudet with Planning and Development Services, here to present just an overview of the report number one from the TOD Advisory Group. As far as actions, Chair, to your question, that's a little bit up to the commission, to be honest with you. This is a unique scenario and at some level a unique advisory group. It was created by the council back about a about a year ago. The purpose is really to focus on and provide an enhanced review of some significant upcoming transportation infrastructure projects, and sort of recognizing that as those big investments happen in the community, that we need to make sure that they are designed in a way that best facilitates the community's vision, particularly in areas where we're really focusing on transit-oriented development. And clearly those projects will also provide an opportunity for the city to look at itself and say whether or not we have supporting policies, zoning programs in place also to get the kind of development and revitalization that we're talking about in those areas. So the group was created for that purpose. They're in the resolution that created them. It identifies them reporting specifically to the Transportation Commission, their recommendations to the Transportation Commission for concurrence. This report is also being given to the Transportation Commission for their input. But just to make sure that kind of everybody knew what was going on, we ended up forwarding the report to the council, to the Planning Commission, to the Transportation Commission, and to Sound Transit itself. So honestly, it's kind of a question for the commission at the end of this, whether or not you have the desire to take any official action or just generally concur or not. So I'll leave that to the commission's decision. I also will just recognize that the commission has two representatives of the Planning Commission that serve on the group, or actually three sort of, but two officially, I guess. Commissioner Givens and Commissioner Carnes are both representatives of the Planning Commission on the TOD Advisory Group. And then I know Commissioner Strobel is also attends, but as a representative of the tribe. So nonetheless, I guess I would say I'm going to go through kind of this overview of the first report, but obviously anything that Commissioner Givens or Commissioner Carnes or even Commissioner Strobel certainly would like to add in to sort of facilitate or support my discussion, or really provide, I guess, your own reflections of how the group's been going, and the details or importance of this first report, certainly would welcome any of that. So I mentioned the real purpose here is to go over the report, the first report out of the TOD Advisory Group. It was issued here a couple of months ago. You have the full report was provided in your Planning Commission packet. I think it runs maybe 11 pages or so. It includes a cover letter as well as the report itself. You can see here just the basic outline. There is a summary, and then they also talk about various components, not only of their recommendation, but the background. The group felt like, since this is their first report, certainly was an opportunity to reflect a little bit on just how they have come together, what their role is, and kind of reemphasize that, I guess, to the council and to Sound Transit. So one of the real primary focuses at this point for the TOD Advisory Group has been on the Tacoma Dome Link Extension project, which is one that I know the Planning Commission also has significant interest in. You've had discussions about that as well. So they've spent a lot of time over the last, since the middle of last year, and unfortunately that minus about 5 months or so when the group was not meeting due to the pandemic and difficulties with holding public meetings. But they are meeting again. They started here actually just earlier this week to get moving again, so that's really wonderful. But up to that point, the focus had really largely been on the Tacoma Dome Link extension and looking at the station options that are being considered down in that area to try to be able to provide a solid recommendation to Sound Transit and to the City Council on which options they feel like are most supportive of the city's plans and goals. So they've had lots of meetings. It's a good diverse group that includes folks both in the station areas as well as broader representation from expertise. They've met. They also did a walking tour. The recommendations kind of span both specifics about the Tacoma Dome project itself, as well as some broader understanding, I guess, about TOD that will help to feed into other projects as they move forward. So one of the big things that they did was try to find sort of a common language or common criteria or mechanism to sort of evaluate projects. And this is what they came forward with, was these five pieces. You can see multimodal connectivity, economic development opportunities, placemaking in urban form, social and cultural impacts, and community benefit. So they sort of use this as a framework to think about their recommendations, their specific project recommendations. And I would make note, I think one of the things here, Sound Transit itself actually has a somewhat similar framework that they use. And the first three bullets that you see on there probably relate fairly closely to what Sound Transit's focus areas are. So obviously the connectivity pieces, and Sound Transit certainly looks at and has policies regarding TOD and economic development and design. A couple of the other two, I think, that are sort of cool adds that the advisory group really looked at were these ideas of kind of local and cultural impacts and benefits. And considering the time we're in and what's been going on over the last 6 to 9 months or so in the world, it ends up being, I think, a pretty nice add just to make sure that as we are moving forward, that they are really identifying some of these cultural issues and local benefits, and really making sure that stations, as they come forward, and these infrastructure projects really fit into the local context, is really a critical piece from the city's perspective. So I mentioned the real specific components then that they used and provided recommendations on is the Tacoma Dome Link Extension project, and in particular the Tacoma Dome Station area itself. As you know, there's two stations that are planned as part of this project inside the city of Tacoma, one at Portland Avenue and this one at Tacoma Dome Station area. There are four design or location options that Sound Transit is currently looking at. The one that the group made a strong recommendation for is the close to Sounder, what's called close to Sounder, which is essentially on the site of the current Freight House Square. You can see on here a number of the things that they identified, but really a lot of what this revolves around is, I think, their sense of what is the most appropriate urban solution that fits into the sort of context and framework of what's already there, the street grid and where buildings are located and how the urban environment operates as kind of the street is the area where people get around. It's where retail uses are oriented towards. It's really the space, kind of the front door down there of all these streets. And the real feeling that of the four alternatives that are being considered, three of the four are over a street. So you'd have elevated stations and elevated tracks over that running down over the top of either 25th or 26th Street. And this is the one option that actually runs off street. It's still aerial up in the air, but in this case would run over the top of that property. And recognizing that would necessitate removing, you know, significant portions or maybe all of the existing Freight House Square building, but potentially provides an opportunity to maintain the basic urban framework down there, the existing and new buildings that have been put in place, like the Sounder Concourse and the Amtrak station, and potentially maintain some of the vibrancy that is Freight House Square, but in a new form or a new building underneath the tracks, basically in a sort of mixed-use station concept. So on the East Tacoma Station area, the report at this point essentially defers. They didn't have as much time to focus on that one in particular, and they wanted to make sure that they spent time coordinating very closely with WashDOT, with the tribe, and with the port before they came out with any specific recommendations on the Portland Avenue Station area. And then, as you probably saw in the report, they are already starting to think about next steps. They've been at some level pushed based on timelines and trying to coordinate with some of these outside projects into focusing on TDLE in particular. But there's a lot more to TOD and the other infrastructure projects and things that they need to sort of get familiar with so they can make solid recommendations as we move forward on things like the bus rapid transit project on Pacific Avenue and the Puyallup Avenue street redesign project. So these are some of the things that they've identified as work items moving forward or initiatives. They're actually at their next meeting in September going to be having a pretty in-depth conversation about their work program and trying to identify which things they should work on and kind of in what order, what's their prioritization. So that'll be something coming in the near future. So just quickly, next steps. I mentioned at the beginning that the report was provided not just to the Planning Commission, but also Transportation Commission, Council, and Sound Transit. The Council did receive a briefing from Sound Transit a couple weeks ago on the Tacoma Dome Link Extension project, as well as Hilltop. And as part of that, the mayor requested that the TOD Advisory Group come and present their report number one so that the council had a good understanding. So we'll be going with the chair and co-chair of the, or chair and vice chair, I guess, of the TOD Advisory Group to the study session next week to brief the council. And then I mentioned over the next couple of months, they'll be looking at work plan. And the hope is to do the next one is their progress report number two, focused particularly on the TDLE's East Tacoma Station. So with that, I'll stop. Like I said, we have a number of commissioners who are directly involved in the TOD Advisory Group as well. So happy to have any of them fill in where I've missed or add some color to the conversation, and then open to any questions or thoughts that the commission has in general as far as next steps or whether there is a desire to respond formally or just generally concur.
Thank you. And thank you to the advisory group for a really well-written and informative report. Does anybody from the advisory group, any of the commissioners from the advisory group, would you like to add any additional information or highlight anything? Okay, it doesn't look like it. Does anybody have any feedback, questions? Comments?
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Commissioner Carnes. So I guess a couple of, I'm also a fan of the close to sounder option for Tacoma Dome Station. In addition to a number of the, you know, of the items that are mentioned in the slide that indicate that this option would sort of alleviate the negative effects of creating dark shadows and sort of obscuring of the pedestrian environment on in an elevated option. The close to sounder option, which would potentially integrate with Freight House Square, sort of reduces the need for vertical conveyance. It eliminates the need for a mezzanine or a mid-level between the street and the station platform, so that it creates sort of an enclosed area for passengers to wait for trains and to potentially use non-transit uses within the station footprint. So, potentially restaurants and other sorts of human services. Restrooms, things of that nature, which would be more difficult to integrate into into an elevated platform. So there's that. And then the other comment that I would make is that so one of the presentations that we saw from consultants identified in Denver in the station area structures that could be in the area of 25 stories or taller. That isn't sort of where we're at right now in terms of the way that zoning looks like in around our station areas. So, as this proceeds, I would encourage sort of jointly developing with Sound Transit upon the completion of environmental review some additional station area planning.
Thank you, Commissioner Carnes. Commissioner Gibbons?
Well, I thought, I'll give a feedback too. So I'll give a feedback and then I have a question of the commission. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So the first part of last year was more just getting up to speed and finding out what all the transit agencies are planning. And then one thing that I found really helpful that we had a facilitator last year, we had from Bio Architects, and he did a really good job of given us an exercise in order to kind of whittle down what station designs meet our needs. So it really took the emotion out of it. That was all that criteria that Brian went over. And I thought that was a really good tool that we might want to use in the future, you know, either on this commission or even with the advisory committees to really take that emotion, you know, out of our selections. Okay, then now my question is, okay, so next meeting, the TOD advisory committee is going to go over our work plan. What type of feedback or what type of information do you need from the commission to make our jobs easier as we plan for land use and urban design and those type of things, you know, in the future?
Set a commission for the advisory group?
So
is that a question for the advisory group? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, let me give you some context. So, you know, whenever I sit on this thing, I'm just trying to think, well, what are some desires or recommendation that the advisory committee is coming up with, so I can translate that into planning commission type work. So the advisory committee is going to be doing their work plan. What type of things do you want to hear back from the advisory committee so we can do our jobs? And if there's nothing, then there's nothing.
Does anybody have any thoughts? I mean, and this is, you know, this is something where it might be a good idea to think about this a little bit and maybe email staff with that after you've had some time to think about it. If everybody's okay with that, since I'm not seeing hands popping up right now.
Yeah, I will say, Chair, I mean, the other option, this one's a little bit of an enhanced report, but as you know, I think we've incorporated now into the agenda at the end, sort of committee reports from commissioners who are participating or serving on other groups. And so I would expect that we will, after the September meeting, when we have our planning commission meeting after that, that there would be some level of report in from Commissioner Givens or Carnes or otherwise about what happened at the September meeting. And that certainly is another opportunity probably for folks to mention these kinds of things.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, I'm hoping that we'll get a quick briefing or short snippet of information after their next meeting. So
yeah, I will say, I mean, to Commissioner Givens' point, I think it's a good one, and it's something that the group has talked about to some extent already. I think in the realities of transit-oriented development, there's clearly numerous factors that impact its viability. At some level, the infrastructure itself can be built in a way that is supportive or not supportive of the kinds of things happening around it that you want. But then you also do have to have those structures in place, zoning being one of the obvious ones that allows for the kinds of development that you want to occur in a transit-oriented development area. And there's other things like market, and there's other, you know, tools that can be utilized. You know, there's lots of questions about parking and design and things like that as well. But I would expect that as the advisory group moves forward, that will continue to be something that they identify is, as was stated, the need for maybe some additional station area planning that looks not just at infrastructure, but looks at operations, looks at, you know, management of facilities in the area, as well as zoning.
Yes, thank you. Anything else? All right, seeing no other thoughts or comments, we will move on to the Planning Commission Annual Report 2019-2020. And the work program for 2020-2022. Staff, Brian, I believe, is going to review the commission's accomplishments of the past 12 months and the proposed work plan for the next 12 to 24 months. And we are being asked to approve this and approve it for forwarding to the council. So, Brian, I'll let you go ahead and take it away.
All righty, and thanks, Juan. I will share my screen now. So this is sort of our yearly check-in with the Planning Commission, both to talk about accomplishments as well as to look forward. Can everybody see my screen there? Can you see the PowerPoint? Okay. This is the code actually requires the Planning Commission to check in with the council once a year and provide this kind of a report. The work program itself, the looking forward part, is inherently probably the more interesting piece a little bit, and that's something that as the code lays out is really jointly developed by the Planning Commission and the City Council, and in this case it's through the Infrastructure Planning and Sustainability Committee. So the idea is that once the Planning Commission finishes its review and forwards this along to the council, we would then take it to the IPS committee for their concurrence. So, and that's been our traditional pattern here for at least the past, I don't know, probably 5 years or so. So with that, I will try to move forward. All right. So obviously we'll talk about what's been going on over the last year or so, as well as what we could see potentially looking forward. And then we'll, at the end, we'll take thoughts, guidance, questions, et cetera. So you obviously have a much more significant and detailed report that we provided in the agenda packet that goes through sort of exhaustively all the individual items that the Planning Commission has looked at over the last year or so. These are just some highlights of that. The Urban Design Studio, obviously a significant project, not yet done, but a lot of progress made on that, and we'll talk about that. I'll mention it again as I get to the looking forward part, the work program for the next year or two. The residential infill pilot program is a significant initiative as well. The commission finished its review and made recommendation. I believe that was back in about March. I would just note as we look forward, that's something that now with staff coming back from furlough, it was a little bit on hold, but we are looking to move that forward again, and we'll be going to council over the next couple of months. The At Home in Tacoma project, which is the Affordable Housing Action Strategies Planning Actions, commission went through scoping process back in the early spring as well. The 2020 annual amendments, which actually we just talked about here earlier in the meeting, as you know, are in progress. So normally by the time we do our annual report, we're reporting that this is done, but you know, things are different these days. So a little behind what our normal schedule would be on that one, but obviously the commission has made a lot of progress on this and is really getting very close to the formal public review process and your recommendation. And then a couple others that the commission did complete, the capital facilities program and your recommendations, as well as the consolidated plan. In addition to individual projects, and like I say, there's a lot more in the report itself, but there's a couple of other things that the commission's done a significant amount of work on that are worth highlighting. The joint task force with the Human Rights Commission is really a unique and new thing that we haven't really seen much. And so I think big kudos to the Planning Commission for this concept, for really looking at equity and how it relates to housing issues. And as we look forward, this will be something that certainly the commission is going to be working on quite a bit over the next couple of years, probably. The Tacoma Dome Link Extension project we talked about already, as well as the TOD Advisor Group. I think, again, another great thing where the commission has identified folks and has representatives directly on an advisory group like this, you know, keeping a very close and tight connection between the focus of an advisory group looking at TOD and looking at infrastructure investments and how they relate back to broader land use questions like we just talked about. So I think that's a really good move. The commission did quite a bit of work on Destination 2040 and provided a great recommendation to Pierce Transit on that. I think that was another really good initiative. Held a couple of public hearings. I think that's on the infill pilot program as well as the At Home in Tacoma scoping. And then a number of other meetings, open houses. As you know, we held the state APA conference in Tacoma this year. So that was exciting. And I know a number of commissioners were involved in that as well. So as I said, usually the discussion ends up being more about the looking forward part here, so the work program as we project out. Now, I'll start this part just with the recognition that honestly, everything's a little bit up in the air. You know, I mean, I think we always come to these conversations with a little bit of, you know, tentativeness, I guess, about exactly what we can and cannot get done. And part of that is that priorities are at some level constantly shifting. You know, it's not unusual. You know, if I really think forward 2 years, you know, there certainly may be new initiatives that come from the council over that time period, or otherwise are sort of handed or come to the commission and really need to be worked on. So on top of that normal uncertainty, this time around, obviously, we've got budget constraints, you know, starting back at the beginning of this year, or really, I guess, in the spring when the pandemic hit. As you know, the city council and the city manager sort of put a lockdown on spending and hiring and things like that. And so there's a number of things which we were planning on moving forward, even in some cases this year, that are on hold right now. Some obvious ones like the Pacific Avenue corridor plan and the neighborhood planning program, things like that. So those things are still at some level on hold because of the city's budget condition in 2020. But certainly as we look forward to 21 and 22, as we're getting into the next biennial budget cycle, there is still, and you know, a lot of uncertainty around exactly what sort of resources may be available for planning initiatives. As most folks are probably aware, the city is certainly projecting a notable reduction in general fund revenues due to reduced tax collections. I mean, the economy is, you know, halfway shut down, right? So less money is coming in the door for the city, just like it is for lots of other businesses and entities out there. And so the city is projecting reduced revenues and is thus having to look at reduced expenses. And that's really across the board, particularly on the general fund side. And so all of the departments have been examining, you know, sort of what potential cuts could be made to help close that gap. At this point, those are decisions that are not made yet. The city manager, I believe, will be presenting her proposed budget in early October, and then the city council will be reviewing and taking action probably by late November. And so once over the next couple months, that'll start fleshing out and we'll have a better sense for exactly what resources we have. So anyways, I just make that note. It's not a surprise to anyone, but in looking forward, like I say, this time around is probably a little trickier than other times. And so, you know, we'll have to continue to be a little bit flexible, I guess, on exactly what we do and when we do things. So as far as the list of initiatives and sort of where they come from, most of you have seen this before. You know, there's clearly numerous sources. You know, previous work programs is probably one of the more obvious ones. Projects that we were working on or have been postponed or on hold. Mandates that come to us, and we have a couple of those that I'll mention. Certainly discussions that we have at Planning Commission meetings, you know, feedback and suggestions that you make. Let me mute for 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. Obviously, city council actions, when they hand staff and planning commission stuff, those clearly become relatively high priorities. And then there's things coming out of the One Tacoma Comprehensive Plan itself. It identifies a number of implementation things and citizen and stakeholder requests and applications that we receive when we're open for private applications. So first of all, looking forward to essentially the rest of this year, the next, 4 or 5 months or so. The Tide Flats interim regulations is on here, not because the Planning Commission, as it's structured right now, really has a significant role in those every 6 month extensions. Partly it's on there to reflect that there obviously is a bunch of community interest and there's some level of staff work that happens every 6 months associated with that. But it's probably worth noting that over, you know, at the previous extension, which was back in the spring, as well as in discussions that have been going on at the steering committee level for the tide flats interim regulations, or for the tide flats subway plan, excuse me. One of the conversations that's gone on is about whether or not there is interest in moving forward sooner rather than later with some version of non-interim regulations. So some regulations that would not have to be renewed every 6 months, but, you know, would be at some level permanent, but probably subject to obvious change once the subway plan is done. So that's something that the mayor has talked about a number of times. It's been talked about at the council level. And so that one still kind of sits out there as a possible. You know, the council is going through its next interim regulations extension starting here in September. And so we don't really know, but it's certainly possible that that issue may come up again. And clearly, if the city council ultimately decides that they want the planning commission to work on some non-interim regulations to address that issue, that would obviously become a pretty high priority. The next one is residential infill pilot program. The commission's done, but we're moving on to the city council's process on that. I mentioned earlier, probably or looking for adoption in like October, November timeframe. Capital facilities program is also one that's moved on to the city council. That'll be adopted as part of the budget process here towards the end of the year. And the 2020 amendment package, really for, if I look at the planning commission's schedule for the next couple of, or probably 3 or 4 months, this is really top of the list as far as what you're going to see the most of. You know, we are really trying to get this done in 2020 so that we can still sort of call it the 2020 amendment without having to wink at it, I guess. But that does force us to move fairly quickly over the next couple of months to get this out for public review and get a planning commission recommendation so the council can still take action this year. So as we look forward to 2021, here's some of the items that we look at. And I will say in general, I guess, again, recognizing that there's a lot of questions out there about staffing resources, that the way I look at it, the three really big land use or zoning projects that we're probably going to be focused on, at least for the next year or so, are really the Urban Design Studio, which, you know, we're probably halfway through or maybe a little more than halfway through that conversation with the Planning Commission, and we'll be restarting that back up here in the next month or so. But the goal there is to really get that put forward to council here this next spring to summer so that that can get put in place. The Tide Flats subarea plan itself, as you know, and I know Steve has reported, and he'll talk a little bit about at the end of this meeting as part of his update, but we have really gotten to the point where we're now into kind of the real kickoff part of looking at existing conditions, starting the public outreach and engagement components now that we have the consultant on board and the steering committee has decided how to move forward. That's really going to start to be a pretty significant work program item for the planning commission, for staff, obviously for steering committee and other folks as well. And then the other one, and maybe the most significant in some ways, is the Affordable Housing Action Strategy, or the At Home in Tacoma project. The commission has already started the work on that, gone through the scoping process. As you know, this is a project which at some level really gets to the core of the city's growth strategy, looking at how, excuse me, how that growth strategy and our zoning patterns relate to opportunity and equity issues. Hence the commission's desire to partner with the Human Rights Commission. And there's a number of just significant projects and a lot of emphasis at the council level and really throughout the city organization about moving forward on the Affordable Housing Action Strategy, as even despite the economic turmoil associated with the pandemic, we are continuing to see home prices, you know, move upwards very fast in the area. So no indication that there's any slowdown on housing difficulties in the area. So that's definitely going to be a big work item. In addition to that, you do see a number of other items on here. Certainly there's a some transportation related stuff. I mean, we're continuing to work on the TOD advisory group. I know the transportation master plan, which is something that's come up a couple of times with commissioners and also from staff. And we just talked about it a little bit. They will be getting into a more significant update here over the next couple of years. And so we will probably even have some, maybe some, an introductory discussion in the next couple of months with public work staff, but really getting into the more significant scoping process early this next year. And the one you see at the bottom there is the mandated, the state mandates an update every 7 years to our comprehensive plan. And it's a mechanism to look comprehensively at it, make sure that the comprehensive plan still works together and that it reflects changing conditions or changes in state mandates or other regional policies. As the commission is well aware, Puget Sound Regional Council is finalizing Vision 2050, which will then flow into updates to countywide planning policies, all of which then feeds into our comprehensive plan update. So the mandate right now, timeline is for 2023. We are expecting that process to probably take, you know, a couple of years in earnest. And so the scoping for that is likely to start this next year. So then looking out even farther, and you note on there, I say very preliminary. Again, the farther we look out, the more the uncertainty makes this difficult. But if we look out towards 2022 over the next couple of years, you still see certainly a lot of focus on affordable housing action strategy. I think the idea is that we will, through this next year, be looking at policy amendments and some actions, and then clearly there will be a follow-up for further implementation of some of the actions that are identified in the At-Home in Tacoma project. We have a 2022 annual amendment package we'll be looking at. That will be the next round of private applications we will be taking in. And so just a heads up on that. The application deadline is set every couple of years by staff and generally with concurrence of the commission. So right now we are looking at April 1st of 2021 to be the application deadline for the next round of private applications. So which is April 1st has been kind of the standard date I think we've been using. You can see some of the items potentially in that 2022 annual amendment package beyond the private applications. Some of these are things that are sort of have been on the to-do list, like the commercial zoning stuff, better integrating the downtown subway plans, and things like that. And then you also see a couple of items on there which are at some level on hold right now, but hopefully will be moving forward, or I guess in particular, I'm just referencing that Pacific Avenue corridor plan. Still very much hoping that it will be something that we can find the resources for to move forward, because there's certainly a significant opportunity there to really look at transit-oriented development along that corridor. And we recognize that with the investment happening, it's probably one of the more obvious areas where the zoning is not necessarily in place to facilitate the kind of outcomes that would really capitalize on that investment. So in the report, there are a number of other things that are identified at some level of things that are going on around the planning forum, as well as things at some cases that are sort of growing focus areas, as well as some things that are in some cases deferred or delayed. You'll see on here some of the regional stuff, which I mentioned how it will tie directly into our upcoming 2023 update. You also see on there the neighborhood planning program, again, which is an item that is at some level on hold right now, but we are hoping to get back to, and that was a mechanism to work more proactively out in communities to look at smaller area planning instead of what we tend to do a lot of times right now is more citywide, you know, initiatives. You also see some reflection of recent council actions regarding climate change, which is also a significant component both in the Tide Flats Subway Plan as well as in Vision 2050, and similar with equity and social justice issues and citizen and outreach and engagement. So with that, I will stop talking for a little bit here and open it up and commission questions, feedback. Again, the action we are looking for, really, this is to move the proposed work program and annual report on to council so that we can take it to the Infrastructure Planning and Sustainability Committee to get their concurrence.
Thank you very much, Brian. So, I mean, I think we just, like you said, things are kind of, well, for the future plans, obviously, are kind of preliminary since we don't know what the future will hold. Are, just for the benefit of everybody in the room, are we planning to go back to our twice a month meetings that we had been doing before, or are we going to keep to our once a month meetings? I thought we were going back to twice a month, but I just wanted to confirm that.
We are going back to twice a month, and we have pretty well scheduled out preliminarily, at least what the rest of the calendar year kind of looks at, or looks like, excuse me. The one possibility might be, you know, which wouldn't be uncommon, is would be like canceling the second meeting in December or something like that, maybe unnecessary. If we do get the annual amendment completed on the schedule we're looking at, which I think is in maybe October, that does free up a little bit of time, not both to focus and maybe have some significant conversations, both about the tide flats if necessary, but even more particularly about urban design and that program, as well as the Affordable Housing Action Strategy and the At Home in Tacoma project. We're actually thinking it might make sense to do sort of workshops, almost, you know, single topic workshop meetings, sort of in the November, December timeframe. But yeah, the intent is to go back to two meetings per month.
Okay. And I mean, you know, seeing how we stopped meeting for a bit, you know, in March, seems like we got quite a bit done this year so far. One other thing I have a question about is, you mentioned ongoing stuff, it mentioned annexations. What is going on with the Manitou annexation? Is that out of Planning Commission's purview now? Has it moved on, or are we still working on that? And you don't have to answer that now. If you don't have an answer to that just yet, you can just get back to us at a later date too.
Nope, I'm fine. The commission has completed its work on Manitou, basically set up the zoning that will go in place when the annexation actually occurs. So it moved on to the council. The council did an initial adoption of basically indicating interest in moving forward with it and moving to the negotiation phase. And so that's kind of where it stands right now, is in the negotiation phase between the city and the county, which is largely about administrative functions and how transfer of responsibility occurs and things like that. So we are still moving forward. I mean, the furloughs did not help that project either. So we're a little behind where we thought we were going to be. But yeah, that project is still moving forward. And it's maybe next year when the actual annexation potentially happens. And I will say, Chair, I appreciate your comment there. I probably forgot to make the general statement that I should, that yeah, despite a number of months where we were meeting less and or the meetings were shorter because of limitations, I think on the staff side, it's one of these opportunities where as we look at what's been accomplished over the last year or so, we are, as always, continuously impressed with how much work the commission puts in, and how much the commission accomplishes, even with the resources, the limited resources sometimes that we have. So I, you know, huge kudos to all of you for your commitment and hard work.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody's done a great job. And so now I will open it up to my fellow commissioners. Does anybody have any questions, comments? I'm not seeing it. Commissioner Strobel.
Madam Chair, I'm actually ready to make the motion to to forward the Planning Commission annual report 2019-2020 and 2020-2022 work program to the City Council.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
All right, so that's been moved and seconded. Commissioner Givens has his hand up. Would you like, is your hand up for discussion?
I had it up before a motion went, so it wasn't called on, so I don't know how that works.
That's okay. We can...
I just want to get a sense of, like, timing for the public engagement for the AHOS. Like, when are we going to start asking, you know, people what they'd like to see in the neighborhood? And then my second question is, it's a pretty ambitious work plan, and with all the budget constraints and staff constraints, are there a couple projects that may slip off? Because, like, for example, I think housing is a big priority, and, you know, I would like to see if things are going to slip, that still stay as a priority. So that's just kind of my comments.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. On the At Home in Tacoma project, as far as public outreach and engagement, Elliot Barnett of our staff will be coming, I think, at the next meeting to talk a little bit in detail, kind of the refresher of exactly where the commission left off and what the next steps are on the schedule. But we are looking at probably first round of community engagement here in kind of October, November timeframe. So to talk really about existing conditions, what some of the goals are that the city has, and get early feedback on what kinds of actions that people might be interested in, or that basically that people think could actually make a notable impact on the cost of housing in the community. As far as priorities, and I think this is part of the open question to the commission, so certainly if anybody else has thoughts on as we move forward prioritization, I would say from the staff side, the way I think we interpret and look at all of the conversations we've been having, it's really those three projects, and that's kind of why I mentioned those. There's a number of other things if you look on the projection, you know, where I talk about Pacific Avenue or commercial zoning update or things like that. Those are probably more likely to be the things that slide if resources become tight. Chances are, you know, the three that I highlighted, which are the Affordable Housing Action Strategy, the Tide Flats Subway Plan, and the Urban Design Program, are kind of at the top of the list. And I, at this point, at least certainly hope or don't foresee that we will have to choose amongst those three.
That made me really happy. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have any discussion items before we vote? Not seeing any. I'm going to call vote. All those in favor of the approving and forwarding this to City Council, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion passes, and we will forward this on to City Council.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Did somebody have something to say? Okay. And now we will move on to discussion item E, tentative topics of the upcoming meeting for next month. Which is has already been kind of discussed, the 2020 annual amendment, releasing the package for public review, the AHAS planning actions, and urban design studio.
Madam Chair, this is Li Huang Wong. Urban design studio might not be ready, but as Brian alluded to, At Home in Tacoma urban design studio and the Tide Flats issues under the communication items, those are currently the top priorities in our work program. So they will keep coming up on your agenda.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and we will move on to item F, which is communication items. Brian, did you want to go over those with us?
The first one is about the Tide Flats, so I'll let Steve take it away on that one.
Sure. Thank you, Brian. And again, this is Stephen Atkinson, Long Range Planning Division. So I want to provide kind of a two-part update here. First on the tide flats interim regulations, and second on the tide flat subarea plan. So Brian covered the interim regulations a little bit in the work program overview. So again, kind of a little bit of the background for some of the commissioners that may not be as familiar with that. But the interim regulations were adopted in 2017 based on a recommendation from the Planning Commission. And that has been in effect since then, and was intended to be in effect for the duration of the subarea planning process. The first adoption was for a year. We've gone through four subsequent extensions of the interim regulations, and we are starting to get that process back up and running again. So we're generally on a December 2nd, June 2nd timeline. It's every 6 months for the expiration of the interim regulations. So we are expecting to have the public hearing with City Council on September 29th, tentatively putting that schedule together with Council, and we'll have a resolution setting the hearing before Council on September 1st. So kind of with that, we'll have the dates in place and we'll start advertising for that process. And then as Brian mentioned, there have been discussions about initiating a process to come up with non-interim regulations. So again, that's a conversation that's happened with Council as part of the extension process last May. We also had ongoing conversations with the steering committee, the Intergovernmental Steering Committee for the Subarea Plan. As soon as we know more about whether or not Council will direct staff to move forward with non-interim regulations, we'll certainly share that with the Commission. And as Brian mentioned, we're including that kind of in our forecast for our work, just recognizing that if we get that direction from Council, that will have some significant staff resource impacts. On the tide flat subarea plan, do have some really good news I wanted to share with the Commission on that. First of all, we do have the contract in place. So that was one of the pieces that was impacted by COVID-19. And kind of putting a pause on contracting while we took some precaution over our spending while we were getting a handle on the impacts of that the pandemic on our budget. But with the contract in place, we are now able to start planning out all the next steps in the process with a much greater sense of certainty. So previously, we'd had an initial startup contract with Burke Consulting to kind of get us through the public engagement plan development. But had not had the resources or contract in place to start the next tasks in that process. So that's really positive. And we are working with Burke currently to kind of put together the next 6 month forecast for deliverables and draft documents. As Brian mentioned, some of the next phases will really start to include the analysis of baseline environmental conditions for the EIS, and then starting to look at sea level rise and climate vulnerabilities and resilience in the tide flats, as well as economic baseline data and forecasting. So those pieces will be kind of the focal point for the next 6 months, and then leading into the visioning process kind of early next year. So as soon as, hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll have more concrete dates and a schedule put together for that. We'll share that with the Planning Commission so we can start identifying meetings and a timeline for commission review. And then in your packet, also as part of the communication item, provided the public engagement plan that was approved by the Tide Flat Steering Committee. So we had come earlier this year to the commission to talk about kind of the outline and get early commission input into public engagement, kind of the overarching engagement plan for the Tide Flat Subarea Plan. So I am just very pleased to report that the steering committee approved that, had a unanimous or consensus recommendation from the staff team, and just really positive feedback from the steering committee as well. And two things just of note very quickly. One is this is kind of the pattern that we're going to work to implement with the Planning Commission as there are new documents to review, having discussion items with you to get commission input. Bring that input back then to the Intergovernmental Steering Committee, and then kind of close that feedback loop by providing you, likely through communication items, with the kind of final documents that are approved by the Steering Committee. that's kind of the process that we've set up. And then ultimately, as we move further along, there'll be recommendations from the steering committee coming back to the planning commission as well. So there's that piece on the public engagement plan. Now I've blanked on the last piece. one thing I want to make note again is with COVID-19, one of the things that we're expecting is that the context in which we're conducting public engagement could still change significantly over the next year, 2 years. So we're kind of recognizing that this is going to be an ongoing discussion. And as we start to go through the engagement process and start to put together the meeting design and specific avenues for community engagement, we will be circling back both with participants to find out what's working and what we can continue to improve, and then also checking back with our commissions and the steering committee to continue to get feedback and kind of go through lessons learned and respond to any changes in this pandemic. So as we kind of get a sense for the context, we'll certainly be continuing to communicate what's changing and get feedback from the commission as well. So thank you. Happy to answer any questions if there are any.
It looks like Commissioner Givens has a question. So go ahead, Commissioner Givens.
So whenever I got the packet, it's a really nice packet, by the way. I was looking at the study area, and a large portion of the study area is on the Puyallup Reservation. I don't think I knew that. I was wondering, and you don't have to do it now, but like sometime in the future with the communication items, I'd like kind of a one-on-one how we do land use planning and sub-area planning that's on a reservation, because I think I feel like I need to be brought up to speed on that.
Okay. Certainly, that'd be a great conversation. Yeah, we could do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? I just have one thought, and you don't have to answer it now, but with regards to the public engagement plan, I've got my concerns about, you know, the changes to public engagement wise. I can see that there's the benefits that we have things that are online, and maybe more people will feel empowered to write letters and send emails. But I'm wondering if, and you don't have to answer this today, but if you guys have found any resources that talk about the advantages, disadvantages, especially if we can't do in-person public engagement, I'm just worried about missing a group in our population.
Yeah, and Chair, that's a great question, and one that we grapple a lot with. I mean, the general sense kind of going into this, because things were changing pretty quickly as we were developing the draft kind of early on. We had a draft, then we were starting to understand a little bit more about kind of the impacts from the pandemic and how that was changing kind of in real time, how we were doing engagement. So I will say some of the feedback we got from our consultant team, and we've heard this from our meeting communications office as well, is that we are seeing much greater participation in meetings. Much like I think we saw with the Capital Facilities Program public hearing, there's, folks don't have to come down to City Hall to come to the public hearing or pay for parking or kind of run into all those barriers, or if you're taking public transit to kind of coordinate your schedule. So there are some ways in which we are seeing a real positive benefit to increase engagement through the online and virtual meetings. Similarly, with recordings, that we can have the presentations available or Q&A sessions available throughout the day for people to review when it's convenient for them. At the same time, what we are seeing is recommendations from our consultants that the interpersonal relationships are still really important to be able to kind of help people understand, to kind of leverage those relationships to get people involved in the process. And still there's a role for a kind of on-site engagement. By that, I mean the consultants recommended that hard copies of documents can still be very important in this phase, and that we can provide hard copies of documents at some of our essential services and essential businesses that are still open. So there's certainly been some thought to that, and that might be something that would be a good discussion for the commission down the road too, not specific to the tide flats, but just a broader discussion about community engagement and kind of what's working or what's not in this kind of context that we're working in currently. So we'd be happy to have that conversation with the commission as well, and really think about some of those lessons that we can incorporate into other projects.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to see us have that discussion at some point. And now we will move on to status reports. I know the Housing Equity Task Force hasn't met, but is Elliot on here? Oh, Brian would like to speak.
Thanks, Chair. I was just going to, Elliot's not on here, by the way. And so I'm not sure there's much. We have talked a lot about the TOD advisory group, and I'm not sure there's much of an update yet on Housing Equity Task Force, maybe by the next meeting. I was just going to make mention with respect to the good discussion you just had about community engagement that, you know, coming up on the September meeting, obviously one of the things that the commission is going to do is to release the 2020 annual amendment package for public review. And so I would certainly encourage, if commissioners have ideas or think of stuff between now and then, that is certainly a good opportunity to make note to staff of certain things that you think might be effective. You know, we're certainly thinking about it on our side, like traditionally we've done an informational meeting in person prior to the public hearing the same night. Well, that's certainly not going to happen. And so we're trying to think of other options, like having online open houses and how those could be structured in a way to, you know, maximize at least the opportunities that come from the virtual engagement that we're doing right now. So.
Thank you. All right, anything else? Do we have an update on Planning Commission terms and appointments?
Madam Chair, this is Li Huang Wong. Yes, I do have a quick update. So there are currently two positions on the commission that the terms have expired this past June, and those are district number one position currently held by Commissioner Strobel, and the development community position currently held by Vice Chair McGinnis. And according to Tacoma Municipal Code Section 13.02, both commissioners can continue to serve until their successors are appointed. And Commissioner Strobel and Vice Chair McGinnis are doing exactly that, which we really appreciate because we need them. Now, the City Clerk's Office informed me just earlier this afternoon that the Council's Infrastructure Planning and Sustainability Committee, who interviews candidates of Planning Commission and make recommendations for appointments, is considering conducting interviews on October 28th. So if Commissioner Strobel and Vice Chair McGinnis have submitted their applications to the City Clerk's Office, there's a good chance they will be called on to be interviewed on October 28th. And by the way, this date is still tentative. And then if after the interviews conducted by the IPS committee, they will make a recommendation to the City Council for appointments to be to occur sometime mid-November. So that is when we would expect to have either successors of these two positions or these two commissioners being reappointed. So it's still up in the air. So that is the update that I can provide. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Brian.
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to add a couple other quick things as far as council scheduling and what's going on. Next week at the Infrastructure Planning and Sustainability Committee, they've actually requested that PDS staff come and talk about mixed-use centers. a little bit. And in particular, it's kind of the history of mixed-use centers and what their purpose is, as well as some discussion about potential for master planning or subway plans or revitalization strategies or lots of different terms, but some sort of focused area planning of the mixed-use centers. Certainly there is a significant amount of growth happening in some of them, and that creates consternation and opportunity, right? So council is in some ways reflecting that and wanting to have a discussion about that. So I don't know quite how that will play out, but I mention it because certainly it's possible that coming out of that, there may be a renewed interest or some increased interest in doing some level of subway planning in and around mixed-use centers. Beyond that, just quickly on upcoming council schedule, I mentioned a couple of things during the work program conversation, but more specifically, the infill pilot program is going to be going to City Council really starting October 6th. So we'll have a study session that day as well as public hearing that night. So as always, we'll throw out if the chair or I guess if any other commissioner has particular interest in attending or being part of the presentation and reflecting the commission's recommendation, we're certainly open to that. Let us know. Steve mentioned the interim regulations process coming up. The other one I would mention is, since we've talked a lot about affordable housing and its importance and how significant that will be moving forward for the commission, it's on your next commission meeting on September 2nd, and we'll also be talking to the City Council about affordable housing action strategy and the At Home in Tacoma project at a study session on September 15th. So really getting into the flow and getting moving on that one. With that, that's all I've got for communication items. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. I think Commissioner Strobel might have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wong, I had a question really quick. So I haven't seen the board or that the commission advertisement placed for Planning Commission yet since we were on that extension process right now. So would it make sense for me to apply right now?
Thank you, Commissioner Strobel. So this is the detail that City Clerk's Office accepts applications for any committee commissions year round. So anyone can submit their applications anytime. And so the City Clerk's Office, when the time comes, they will draw from the pool, if you will, anybody who has applied and present it to the IPS committee for them to select who would be interviewed, and they will take it from there. And you are correct. This particular positions or two positions of a planning commission have not been advertised because of the COVID-19, the staff furlough, and everything. It has been delayed. So I will double check with the City Clerk's Office and make sure they open up the advertisement if that October 28th date is set. And so we'll take it from there, and I'll definitely email back the entire commission with that information and encouraging you and Vice Chair McInnes to reapply. And also, it's all fair that I would encourage all commissioners to talk to your affiliates who might be interested in serving on a commission to apply. So that's what I will do. I will follow up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else before I adjourn this meeting? All right, since there's silence, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting. So the Planning Commission meeting for August 19, 2020 is adjourned at 6:41 p.m. Thank you.